time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Yes, here we go. The day before Thanksgiving, Pauly Howard, Mike Palm. Mitch out today. He'll be back on Friday. No show tomorrow. Oh, I can't wait for this show. All the laughs. And it's going to be no hyperbole. Derek Stevens, the king of the north in studio. He'll talk about survivor strategy, hardcore craps discussion in an hour. We got five Thanksgiving football games. We got reaction to the committee rankings. We have soccer. Who knew? Well, boy, what a turn of events. The first time I was told, can we have Mike Palm on the show? I said, bleep this guy. I don't like him. Now he's co-hosting. Can't get enough. He should have his own show on the network. And now the guy used to despise soccer, and he's betting it every day and had a good day yesterday with the picks. How you doing, buddy?
Well, the pandemic. Well, there was nothing else to bet. I wasn't betting Russian ping pong. Paul, I was forced to find a new sport. Now I'm in love with it.
Oh,
the pace of the game, the flow, the end game. It's great. Studying over there. I can't wait. I can't wait for Sunday. Tottenham-Chelsea. Who could wait? Forget about Thanksgiving football. I'm not concerned.
I know. How things have changed. You got MLS playoffs. You got Champions League. You got you're betting Wickham under in play against who was that? Huddersfield or somebody?
I think that was the only Champions game that went under. It was a scoreless draw.
Oh, my God.
Everything else exploded.
Well, the same thing happened, too, when we were – this is Bundesliga and – during the pandemic when soccer was the only thing going on, and it happened again yesterday. These goals in the 90 to 95th minute. I mean, oh, my God. Nigel Seeley's living right. But that was...
Yeah, they both benefited me.
Yeah.
I mean, Sevilla and Chelsea. Sevilla, 95th minute. Chelsea, 91st minute in added time, and then we got there. All those favorite parlays came in. The five-teamers, the seven-teamers, all the European powers won yesterday.
Yeah, a couple of things here. I mean, this night it's very important that you set the tone. That you send a message and also set a great example that the VP's already in at 2:30 in the morning. But what is it like here in the casino industry that no days off, right? Like Belichick, Thanksgiving's a big day. I know what's going on in the world, but usually it's a monster day in Vegas with Thanksgiving. You already celebrated it.
Yeah, it's a good weekend for us because you get the three football games on Thursday. Friday is always terrific. A lot of guys don't want to be shopping, do the Black Friday thing. You get some good college football matchups on Friday. That's been and then it rolls into the weekend. And now that we have the sports book behind us here, and of course Stadium Swim up there, just two terrific venues. This will be one of the better weekends in this last quarter of the year for us.
Have you studied college basketball at all?
Oh,
that gets underway.
No.
Yeah,
they got an 1,800 page guide that we got to wait. Now they had a big special last night. They had the college basketball preview that Tim and Stormy hosted, and Matt was on, and everybody's so happy to see Hoops Peterson back. And we'll get his 12,000 plays this year. But there's just so much information. I think you have to kind of wade through this first few weeks, see who plays. I liked Mitch play Fade Kentucky. That the first few games every year is terrific.
Sure. Not a bad schedule either. Not a bad schedule to start. Fingers crossed that we get most of these games in. And now it's just more college football games canceled too. You're a Midwest guy. Minnesota, Wisconsin canceled for what, 113 years, first time?
Poor Wisconsin. But now if the average number of games in the Big Ten is six, they have a way they could get back in.
But
Northwestern's got to lose twice.
Oh, God. Oh, man, fiasco. All right, we got top 10 moments on Thanksgiving. We got all these props. We'll hit all the games coming up. Two college, three NFL, all that coming up. Follow the Money straight ahead.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The NFL appears to be moving forward with the Steelers-Ravens matchup Thursday night at Heinz Field, despite positive tests for COVID-19 among the Ravens, including running back Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, both positive for the coronavirus. The Steelers have been bet up to a 5-point favorite, total 46.5 at Heinz Field. College basketball season gets underway today. Number 4 Virginia taking on Towson at the Mohican Sun Arena. Virginia has won 21 of the last 22 season openers. They're a 19-point favorite over the Tigers with a total of 121.5. It's the VSiN Black Friday weekend special offer. New subscribers save 25% on your annual all-access membership and get $30 credit to the VSiN store. You'll also get the College Hoops Guide, daily best bets emails, point spread weekly, 24/7 video streaming, and much more. VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sennett.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
welcome in. Here we go. Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Pauly Howard, Mike Palm, Derek Stevens in studio. I can't wait in an hour. I am so excited. You guys have been emailing and tweeting nonstop hardcore craps discussion, and the Maestro's a big craps player. Oh, it was Derek, too. But we'll talk about strategy, the ins and outs of the game, and it happened again last night. I was one roll of the dice away from 4,000. I'll share that story. You know, the girlfriend, Shauna, she loves it, loves to play. And I still don't know what's going on. I mean, but we'll talk about that, read all your emails and strategy, and hear from the Maestro coming up. I've been told it's an award-winning edition of No Hyperbole again. Now, it's going to be hard to top what you did 2 weeks ago, but I am hearing that No Hyperbole, 1, 2, and 3, watch out.
Pretty strong.
Yes.
Pretty strong.
All right, can't wait for that. Let's start. Texans up to 3 now, 51.5 against the Lions. As you said 2 weeks ago, who's going to hold Matt Stafford's feet to the fire? So I called Bernie Fratto, who did pre- and post-game for the Lions for 10 years. That's combat. That's hazard pay doing that. Matt Stafford in his career against teams that have finished the season with a winning record, 8-55. 8-55. So he might get one this year with Arizona, as it appears they're going to finish the season with a winning record. Packers, no such luck. Both of these teams can't run the ball. Houston's horrific against the run, but Detroit can't run the ball either. And I don't know what that was Sunday as we're watching the game at Stadium Swim, where you get shut out by Carolina. You don't score, and you have like 180 yards of offense. That was an embarrassment.
And they never stopped betting the Lions here. They just continued to pound them. We needed Carolina. When we went on the air with Tim Murray at 920, the decision was about 30,000. By the time we got off the air, the decision was about 65,000. And by the time they went to kick, it was well over a $100,000 decision for us. 92% of the money came in on Detroit in that game. 92%.
Wow.
One of the most lopsided games we've seen since we opened Circus Sports.
Yes. So since they whacked O'Brien, the Texans are 3-3. It's a mash unit here. Stafford's supposed to play, but questionable. Galladay questionable. Amendola questionable. Stills questionable. But the issue's on Thanksgiving, too. And I just, they ruined my appetite. I mean, I'd like to have a different team on in the morning. They've been doing this since, what, the 30s. But they have one playoff win since Bobby Lane. I mean, it's enough already. But the last 3 years, we've seen division games that they've lost. But go back and look at the history. I mean, they lose to New England in 2002. They get run out by Peyton Manning in 04. He throws 6 touchdowns. Listless performance in 05, 06, 07, 08, 9, 10, 11, 12. All losses. Then they had a mini winning streak, and now back to typical Lions. Why do they play so bad on Thanksgiving? This is supposed to be a big edge for them, like Dallas, where you got the short week and you're at home. They have every advantage here with the scheduling spot, and they've been atrocious on these games.
Yeah, Dallas covers 2 out of 3 on Thanksgiving Day, and Detroit's just the opposite. And now that Derek's built his casino, this will be the first time in 30 years he didn't go home for Thanksgiving. He
wow.
should probably call Goodell, and they can be done with the Lions. Now, they don't need that for his family anymore.
Yes.
So they
can... Yes. No, one of those games was, I would actually think it was a top 10 or top 15 moment on Thanksgiving. These teams met on Thanksgiving in 2012. It was that overtime thriller when Schwartz didn't know the rule and challenged. Yes, and they got the penalty on a turnover, and they got beaten overtime. Houston was 10-1 that year. And it was 34-31. Both teams had 500 yards. Almost 60 first downs. Stafford threw it 60 times and had 440. Schaub had 300, and the Texans got the win, an entertaining game. So I could see something. No, I could see a long, high-scoring game here, and a total here at circa 51.5. Again, both teams can't run the ball. I think it could be an aerial circus here with some bad defenses and an intriguing, interesting, fun game to start the day.
Well, here's the way I look at this game. I just don't know. With Detroit, they have no pass rush. And what are you going to do if you're going to give Deshaun Watson a bunch of time? That's the thing. I mean, his offensive line isn't great, but if you're going to let Deshaun Watson sit back there, and then take off if he needs to, I think it could be a long day for Detroit. And you're right, they are a mash unit. I think that might have been the worst performance of any team all year, what they did in Carolina last
week.
That's
fair.
To the expectations.
Yep.
Not scoring at all against Carolina. So I know people want to use him as a home dog getting 3, and we've heard people say this would be a good contrarian pick in Survivor, but I'd have a tough time tough time stomaching Detroit if that's what knocked me out of the contest.
I'm with you on that. Who do you want to go down with?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is,
I said that last week. Who do you want to go down with? Can you sleep better at night going down with Kirk Cousins or going down with Anthony Lynn? That was the choice. Uh-huh. Two out of three chose the Chargers, and the other third, they went down with Cousins.
So a week ago, I asked the guys at the Westgate with their look-ahead lines, what do you make this number? And they said, with Stafford, it's 1.5 Detroit. Well, now, because they were so bad and the Texans beat the Patriots, they're now laying 3 on the road in this game.
That was going to be the number without Stafford. Remember when they told you
it
was 1.5 or 3 the other way? Well, you get Stafford, and it's still 3.
Yes. So now, and then when you have, look, all things have changed here. All of a sudden, it's a big game in the NFC East. 3-7 against 3-7. My God, the winner of this game could be in first place by Monday night. What a fiasco here. Dallas 8-1 at home all time against Washington on Turkey Day. They haven't been swept by Washington since 2012. The first game was hideous. 25-3 Washington in week 7. Dallas couldn't even get 200 yards of total offense. Dalton got the concussion. He was terrible in that game. And then he comes back in the win against the Vikings last week. But the record of the division, the combined record, 12-27-1. 8 of the wins are against each other. So this is just a horror show here. But again, this is just, it's hilarious that the winner of this game Thursday is in business here. And Mitch gave out 3-1 on Dallas to win the division. I can't call him crazy. They got a shot here now.
Think about what you just said. 12 wins, 8 of them are in division, and these two teams each got 2 of the 4 other ones last week, Dallas winning at Minnesota and Washington against it. So the whole rest of the year, they won 2 games out of division this conference. I'll tell you this right now. There's only one team in the NFC East that can't win it, and it's Philadelphia. Philadelphia will not win the division. They are the worst of the 4 teams.
Wow.
They have a half-game lead, but you've said it. What's with Wentz? He leads the league in every negative category.
He does.
Sacks, fumbles, interceptions. I don't know where they're going. Doug Peterson isn't the answer either. Since Frank Reich left, they haven't had any rhythm to that offense. I think they're the worst of the 14. I could make an argument for any of the 4. Obviously, this is a huge game in terms of if Washington could win the game, having the tiebreaker with Dallas in the end.
There were some 3s out there here at Circuits, 2.5 and 46 the total. What are your thoughts on the total? Because this game was so – and Washington's got a good defense, but they got Elliott going last week. He had 100 yards. Certainly Dalton has weapons. But the Dallas has allowed the most points in the league this year. Washington only averages 20 points per game. Something's got to give in this one. But this has been a great story with Alex Smith. But I guess I can't give him too much credit for beating Cincinnati once Burrow went down because it was an in-play drill. They weren't scoring with Finley and they weren't doing anything on offense.
So let's talk about this. You know, the narrative of the Washington front 7 and how good their defense is, we're continuing to carry it that through. This is 2 weeks in a row they've given up 250 yards of offense in the first half. They weren't winning that game. Remember, Cincinnati missed an extra point and a field goal. They should have been comfortably ahead in that first half. If Burrow doesn't go out, I'm losing that bet. I had the football team minus 1.5 last week. Michael Lombardi says he thinks Alex Smith will struggle in this game tomorrow in Dallas. It's funny how it's come full circle, Paul, because everybody earlier in the year was saving Dallas for this week, for their survivor. And then 3 weeks ago, everybody was thinking they were going to be using the football team because Dallas was so god-awful and couldn't even compete in any of these games. What were they, 0-8 against the spread at one point? And now it comes back to where Dallas will probably be the most popular pick tomorrow.
Yep. It all started October 18th. And that was when the Washington went to the Giants and lost by 1 and the decision by Rivera to go for 2. But they dominated the game. They lost. There was a scoop and score by the Giants. Jones was terrible in that game, but somehow they still won. Then the game I just mentioned, they won 25-3, beat the Cowboys. Then they had the bye, lost by 3 to the Giants, lost by 3 to Detroit, and beat Cincinnati. So they've been in these games. They've been close. At least they're fighting and playing hard for Rivera. But the thing here is, I am a big, how do you handicap human emotion? What happens to Dallas now with the strength and conditioning coach with that horrible story and the sad news there?
This guy was beloved, too. If you go back and follow, I don't know him, remember him or know him, but if you followed Twitter and you followed the reaction of all the Giants players, all the people from Syracuse, he was very, very well respected. And now, of course, he's fighting for his life after the heart attack yesterday. So you're right. How do you handicap? Is it a distraction for the team or does it rally them together?
I mean, think the latter.
You do.
Yes, I do. Win one for him. I think the emotion. Because look at McCarthy with the Gallagher routine that worked. So, I mean, what a kaleidoscope of emotions here.
Watermelon.
Yes.
I think that Dallas also hasn't forgotten. Remember, it's only 4 weeks ago, the cheap shot that gave Dalton the concussion. Yes. I think that's still in their mind. They were embarrassed in Washington, and they took the cheap shot. There's a big revenge factor here tomorrow as well.
Yes. Okay. A couple props on the early games. I bet Rivers. Watson yards is the 300. Under 2.5 touchdown passes, under minus $2. Plus 110 to throw an interception. His rushing yards are 31.5. That's too high. I don't think he's going to have 32 rushing yards. I lean under there. Cook, 68.5. Duke Johnson, 25.5. Fuller, 70.5. Alex Smith is 243. Dalton is in the 240 range. Both quarterbacks over under 1.5 touchdowns. Dalton to throw a pick, yes, 165. Alex Smith, $1.10. Zeke over under 70.5 rushing yards. Cooper, 51.5. Lamb, 54.5. Anything stand out there?
What's Stafford to throw an interception? You have that?
That I didn't write down.
That's probably
a good one, yeah.
Indescribable, some of these passes that he throws, he's looking at. If Jameis Winston threw these passes, we'd kill him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he gets a pass.
Yeah.
Nobody says anything. He threw two interceptions in that game in Minnesota. They were still in that game. Twice they drove into the red zone in the third quarter, down two scores. He throws two interceptions in the end zone.
This is a guy who's made over $100 million in his career, doesn't have a playoff win. For a lot of his career, had Megatron, a top five wide receiver of all time. And I just mentioned how are you 8-55 against teams that finished the season with a winner? And I think he's only got three or four of them on the road. How bad this guy is against good teams. I mean, it's just a huge indictment of how this guy's a below-average quarterback. Everything he does is in garbage time or when it's decided. And people might point to come-from-behind victories. I'll point out he's the reason they're behind with the interceptions and the pick sixes. You brought up, you mentioned Stafford. We got this from FTM at VSiN.com, as always. This is from Troy. How about there's a prop hitting at 80%? Your boy. Wentz has thrown an interception 8 of the 10 games. He has 6 games with multiple interceptions. Last week, he was $1.60 to throw one. Well, it happened right away against Cleveland. This is Winston-level type stuff. Some of his upcoming opponents. Seattle has 9 interceptions. New Orleans has 11. Arizona has 8. Football team has 9. Peterson says, I'm not changing quarterbacks. Troy and Sioux Falls. The Winston stuff last year got to like $3. $3.30 would he throw an interception. This seems to be a gift. Good email. But right, he leads the league in all these categories, Wentz. Good observation.
I don't think he's been the same since he hurt his knee in the Rams in that game his rookie year. And then of course, he missed the playoffs and they won the Super Bowl with Foles. I don't know. You cannot bet that you're no defensive touchdown prop in the game that he's involved in. That's too big. That's too big of a risk because one of those two picks might get returned.
Yep. Well, they got me Sunday. I gave some back, and I love the under. And then this was a new one. Move over Steve Sear and Bill Ady. The girlfriend asked, what did I bet the total at? In the third quarter, she says, congratulations on your win. I said, it's early in the third quarter. We got a long ways to go. That was a new one.
Yeah. Then at the same time, she said, this can't be any worse than you asking me, what's that mean? What's that bet? Well, I'm trying to shoot the dice. Just talk about etiquette. This is very annoying. Paul is very annoying trying to learn dice while I'm playing.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I say, you mean to tell me if you roll an 11 here, we win 3,000? Seven. Seven on the next run.
I'm sure he's mentioning seven, I told her. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, how about the night game now? I mean, this is huge. Will they play? We'll know more today. Will they play the game? Will we get more positives out of Baltimore? What does it do for Survivor? And how things have changed here with Baltimore? I'm going on record right now. If the Ravens lose this game, they're missing the playoffs. They are broken offensively. Broken.
Greg Roman is a one-hit wonder.
Fair.
He had 1 year... with Kaepernick. Kaepernick was great. The next year, they figured him out. Here we go with Lamar. 1 year and the next year. They don't change anything. They don't get anything creative. It's just trying to run the same offense with the same guy. If he can't throw down the middle, they can't be successful. Michael Lombardi's right. He averages 5 yards an attempt outside the numbers. All he can do is throw the tight ends down the middle. And I don't think Roman's creative enough in the running game. Now, here's the thing, and I've heard people make the argument for Baltimore here, is that they totally dominated that first matchup. You and I and Mitch sat on the pool ledge there and watched that game. Two interceptions changed that whole game. They outgained Pittsburgh 2-1. Time of possession by 18 minutes.
It was the first time in since the merger that a team had 250 rushing and held the opponent to under 50 and lost the game.
There was no need that he had to be a drop-back passer in that game.
No.
And he wanted to get cute, especially when they're up 17-7. They got the ball deep in their own territory. Here we go. Drop-back pass interception. The game changes. They had only scored on the pick to start the game. That was Pittsburgh's all. They hadn't even, what did they have, four first downs at that point? They weren't moving the ball at all. And the game suddenly switched on that second interception.
Well, now you have all these guys out. The COVID issues, Campbell's questionable, Andrews, Jimmy Smith, and you're going against right there with Kansas City, best team in the league. This is a horrible spot for Baltimore.
They're already on the outside looking in.
Yes.
If started today,
right.
They're out.
Are we getting carried away, though? It's 5.5 now at some spots. 5 here at Circa. All these games, they're usually close when they meet. But Pittsburgh's number one in takeaways, number one in turnover margin, top 5 in yards allowed. Fewest points allowed. College basketball's back. 21 ranked teams scheduled to play early season games. Bet all these games and other college hoops action with Bet Rivers all season long. Great customer service. Only one-time playthrough. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey is Play Sugar House. We'll get to the college football rankings in 10 minutes. Also, the two games on Thanksgiving as well. Up next, win-lose with some horrific beats in soccer. Straight ahead, follow the money. Pauly Howard, Mike Palm. Faster way to win. When you bet with points bet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and faster rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself. Sign up with code VSIN250. You get 100% deposit match up to $250. Must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, or Illinois. Time for win-lose. Let's go. Now, I mentioned the bad beats. Sevilla, draw and under. Total was 3. 1-1. Goal in the 95th minute. You love that. Draw was 3-1. Total was 3. Tough push. 2-1 Sevilla. You got to love that, Mike Palm.
So I had a 4-team parlay. Sevilla, Chelsea, Man U, and my Dortmund against that terrible Belgian club, Bruges or whatever that is. But anyhow, so I needed Sevilla in the parlay. But I also had a huge bet on under 2.5 at a plus price. So then I bet the over 2.5. At a plus price as well. The only thing that would have killed me was if Krasnodar would have scored the goal. Then I would have made a loser on the game. But it ends up the two miracles, Chelsea and Sevilla, and then the other two were were up field goals at halftime.
Chelsea draw and under. Draw was plus 320. Total was 3. Chelsea won one goal in the 91st minute.
That was the game of Nigel's I liked the least, only because the big look ahead spot to Tottenham on Sunday.
And a big move. It opened 130, closed 215.
215.
Yeah. Yes. Juventus draw 9-1. They were 1,100 to win. It was 1-1. Goal in the 92nd minute again yesterday. Fantastic action. And as I mentioned, bad for the books with Chelsea. Let's go win some. I mean, Mike Palm does it all. Guys like baking soda. Now, this is a great. I have had multiple people, and you tweeted this out. I've had multiple people tell me this should be used in marketing. That's me at the hanging out, watching the NFL. Derek, Andy Dufresne, Stevens again. It's 71 degrees Sunday. Look at that. Now, you're with the Pearl Harbor job with the photo. I turn around and go, what's this guy doing? He said, great photo by you. But that should be used with marketing here, that this is great job by you with the picture. Look at this. CircaLasVegas.com. Whenever you can get out here, folks, that's what you're walking into. Great staff. The best sports book. Stadium swim will blow your mind. The best chicken fingers, the sliders, the food. the bottle service, and oh, by the way, it's 102 degrees in the pool.
Well, this was a great stolen moment here. Here's the whole setup, though. Brad Allen was doing that center bottom game. He was doing the Falcons game with the Saints. And the whole setup was, look how good my man is, and it's Brad Allen instead of you. So now you two get in the pool. I said, here it is. You got to see the final scores for the whole setup.
Sure.
So now I'm trying to catch a moment where you're glancing at the girl and Brad Allen is making a call. I mean, this isn't easy. I mean, worlds were colliding here, and I got the perfect shot. I sent it to you first before I posted it. But, yeah, I mean, it is a beautiful moment with you and her.
That is just a great shot. That captures everything, though, about why this is the best spot to hang out in Las Vegas.
And as I said, Thanksgiving week, we're here celebrating Thanksgiving week, and it's 72 degrees.
I know. Absolutely. Great. All right. That's win-lose. How about, let me run this tweet by you. Do you guys have 164? I think that this guy's a former coach, and I think he works for ESPN. I could have that wrong, but I think he's a coach, current coach or former coach. What do you think of this? Okay. If I'm BYU, and boy, did they get screwed yesterday, is their 14th. I mean, the committee likes to say they watch games. You're not watching games if BYU's 14. BYU is a really good 9-0 team. They should drop the San Diego State game and play Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, and Marshall. If you win all three, you're 12-0. How does the committee keep you out with the SOS? Easier said than done, but could they make that happen? Because you saw, and again, BYU was right. Washington, the game was canceled. The Pac-12 is making Washington play Utah. BYU was concerned about that. They were practicing, getting ready for Washington. Didn't work out. You saw why. But if they could make that happen, and Satake said it last night, the head coach, we have two open dates. We're open. We want to play people. What do you think of that tweet?
I think they should play Cincinnati. That's going to be their only way. And Cincinnati needs the win, too.
Should Cincinnati do it?
They both. Why not? They both. Is Cincinnati going to fall out? Clemson.
I think if Cincinnati wins out, they have a great case.
The problem is, if Clemson beats Notre Dame in the comeback game with Lawrence, they might both be in. And then they're in
Alabama. It's close, you think
Alabama's in. Nobody's beating Alabama. I don't understand the love for the SEC. What has Georgia done? What has Florida done? Georgia's done nothing, and Florida's only beat Georgia. I don't get it. I mean, four in the top nine? That's stunning to me.
A disgrace.
Alabama humiliated Georgia in the second half of that game.
And so did Florida.
They did whatever they wanted to. That defense, they're supposed to be the best defense in the country.
Again, it's three-card Monty in Times Square. We'll explain more of that coming up. I can't believe what they did to Wisconsin, what they did to Coastal Carolina. We'll run all that coming down. We have two college games tomorrow on Thanksgiving. How about a team that doesn't have a win that's laying 6.5 on the road? Straight ahead, follow the money, Visa.
And men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer cuts safe on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. Remember, don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Prop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not? Why are you not
Careful.
Putting deodorant on the smelliest parts of your body?
There you go.
The Perfect Package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pairs of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brothers and friends, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code VSIN20. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
There you go. This is from, I'm going to give this guy credit because he put me on Seattle yesterday. This is Stephen Hammond. He loved Seattle last night against Los Angeles at +130. Los Angeles had three players out due to COVID, including their leading scorer. Seattle was averaging 2.5 goals a game at home while conceding less than a goal. Los Angeles struggles on the road. They've conceded 3 goals on 5 different occasions while being shut out or only putting 1 on the board themselves in 6 of the 8 road games. Guess what? 3-1 final Seattle. Great job, Stephen Hammond. I couldn't give you credit yesterday, but thanks for putting me on Seattle Sounders. How about the PK early in the game by Allen? That was one of the worst PKs I've ever kicked it right at the keeper.
It's almost as bad as that one in England. We had a no hyperbole. Look at Seattle's the defending champion, and this game was in Seattle in the rain and cold. And then you're right, they had all the players out, and you got a plus price on Seattle. These seedings in this MLS mean nothing. I mean,
no, the 7-1 and the
and the eight.
Was it Nashville beat Toronto?
New England beat Philadelphia 2-0 last night. That was a 1-8 matchup. So
really?
I mean, if you're looking at the seedings, and I'd be looking at the value in the lowers. Nashville wins too, and 0-0 into extra time, and then they come away with the 1-0 victory. Nashville's a very good defensive team, by the way.
2 games tomorrow in college, 11 a.m. Pacific. Air Force is 5.5-55 against Colorado State. Both teams 1-2. Colorado State hasn't played since the Boise State fiasco on that Thursday night when Boise had 3 special teams and a defensive touchdown in that game. And O'Brien, the quarterback, did not play well for Colorado State. So they have quarterback issues. And Air Force is off the shutout against New Mexico. That's a tough game. It's just great to have multiple games going on Thanksgiving with football. I guess I would lean Colorado State in that one. But I'll tell you this. Look, it's 0-4 against 0-4 in the nightcap. We don't have the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving. but at 4 o'clock Pacific, New Mexico, 0-4 lane 6.5 at Utah State. Utah State has already fired their head coach, and the quarterback has been kicked off the team. They've lost 42-13, 38-7, 34-9, and 35-16. Average loss, 26 points per game.
And they've got no offense. That team is really
bad. Cannot make a case for Utah State.
No.
Because at least, although New Mexico got shut out by Air Force, at least they gave Nevada a game and hung in there. But this team, they've been routed in every game. And you're right. Well, the offense was bad to begin with. Now the quarterback's kicked off the team.
Yeah, you know that Air Force got up 21-0 early, and then the game just died. And they held the running game intact and in check in the second half. I would lean the winless road team lane points as
well.
Yes.
All right. More thoughts on the rankings last night? It's just how you have BYU 14th. I mean, everyone was shocked and appalled by that. Cincinnati comes in 7. I guess that's okay. I still think they went out. It's going to be hard to keep an undefeated Cincinnati out because I think Alabama will beat Florida. Clemson will beat Notre Dame. Can't be close, though, because if it's a close game, they might put both of them in. But they just continue to move the goalposts on this discussion. Cincinnati has the 4th-ranked strength of record, and they've allowed only more than 17 points per game once, and that was against Central Florida. I don't count Austin Peay, FBS. Gabriel's got a 26-3 touchdown INT ratio. They're a good team. There's nothing wrong. I'll ask you this. If Cincinnati beat Vandy at home by 5, what would happen? That's what Texas A&M did. They beat Vandy 17-12 at home, and they were laying 30. But they don't get punished. It's ridiculous. And what they did to Coastal Carolina is a disgrace. They've already beat App State and Louisiana. How's Iowa State that far ahead of Louisiana? They played. They won. I mean, Louisiana beat them. But in Coastal Carolina checks in at number 20. And then you have Georgia at 9, which is just absurd, as you said. The love for Northwestern, when we don't know who's good in the Big Ten. But if you're going to say you watch the games, you're lying. Because there's no way if you watch these games that BYU checks in at 14. The average margin of victory is over 30 points. They've outscored their opponents 428-125.
I don't understand the 2 lost teams ahead of them. That's really insulting.
Really bad.
The two lost teams when a lot of them have only played 5 or 6 games. It doesn't make any sense. I agree with you. I think Cincinnati deserves a chance this year. They've beaten the opponents that are in front of them that aren't horrible opponents. These are all teams in that American Conference.
With good offense.
You can make an argument that the American Conference is better than some of these power.
Absolutely.
Now, maybe they don't have the total depth, but they've got good teams. 1 through 7 in that conference. They're not getting cupcakes here, and this defense is holding Memphis and these teams under
Houston, SMU,
Houston.
Army. Yes.
These teams are all put up 40 a game, and they're holding them in the teens.
When they played Army, they were ranked. When they played SMU, they were 16th. Memphis has got a juggernaut offense. Houston can move it. You still have the game against Tulsa coming up. They have to win that game, and we'll see if they schedule somebody. But just Florida has one win against a team with a winning record. One.
Ohio State almost has a buy into this now, too. Who can beat them in the Big Ten?
That's the other thing. We're just putting them in there. Mm-hmm. It's like 1-3, 4-1, 1-4, 0-5, 1-3, 2-3, 2-3. That's the entire Ohio State schedule.
Yeah. And Indiana played them to within a touchdown and had a shot.
Don't know about Indiana.
We don't know. No.
Because the Big Ten
is
so bad.
Michigan State.
Yes. Right. Rutgers. I mean, look at the wins. So I just can't believe this. I guess I shouldn't get. Here's my point. Why do you want to see the same teams every year? It's going to be Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama. Why do you want to see the same teams? Why don't you want to see Cincinnati or someone try to get in there and see if they can do it? This is not good for the sport. It's the same teams. And I've seen Notre Dame on the big stage. I know how that goes. They get routed. So, and Mitch is right. There's always a blowout in these semifinal games, too. Mix it up a little bit. It's not good for the sport when it's the same teams. And we're just, look at this. All the returning starters, all their recruits. And I don't want to hear about what would a team be laying on a neutral either. That's not how you determine a champion. And last time I checked, upsets happen all the time. Ridiculous. Great hardcore survivor discussion with Mike, and he has all the updates, plus top 10 Thanksgiving Day moments straight ahead. VSiN, Follow the Money. Pauly Howard, Mike Palm. This holiday shopping weekend's a perfect time to sign up for VSiN. New subscribers get 25% off the regular price of the annual all-access membership, plus a $30 credit to the VSiN store. Subscribe today. You'll get the brand new, you got it right there. Can you hold it up? The brand new College Hoops Guide, over 400 pages. You get the daily best bet emails, 24/7 video streaming, point spread weekly. Get the Van Halen t-shirt, the VSiN Van Halen, the Nigel Seeley shirt. Look at that thing.
Look at this point. This is 114 pages.
That's a new point spread.
This is the new one that comes out today.
Yeah, okay.
114.
Excellent. Good job, Mike.
Printed out a bunch of these. Andy's got plenty of ink in the printer.
Sign up today, VSiN.com/subscribe. Not that it matters, but Paul Stone makes Florida 7-point favorite on a neutral against Cincinnati. It'd be a hell of a game, I'll tell you that. And a lot of people, good comments yesterday on Twitter when I tweeted out, this is ridiculous, but that Florida couldn't stop a high school team. Be a hell of a game. I'd like to see it. But certainly we see upsets every Saturday in college football. Top 10, top 5 Thanksgiving Day moments in NFL history. To me, it's got to be Leon Lett, right? The slide, 1993 against the Dolphins. Pete Stojanovic comes out for a game-winning 41-yard attempt. And Lett thought he needed to recover the ball and slipped and fell in the snow. Miami recovered and Stojanovic kicked the next one. They still went on to win the Super Bowl. But the look on Jerry Jones had made it down to the sidelines back when he used to gallivant and run around the sidelines. He's out there celebrating because they blocked it. What happened? Leon Lett tries to pick it up and then Miami recovers and kicked the game winning field goal.
That was still Shula, I remember.
Remember
Shula was in the turquoise jacket in the snow there in Dallas, and the other game was Shula in the snow when they had the convict come out in New England and cleared the bathroom, and not Thanksgiving, but just thinking about Shula in the snow.
Yes, right. I still think 2012's on the list at some point. I mean, this game, we got Houston and Detroit again. 8 years ago, it was 34-31 in overtime in the Schwartz game. I mean, that game was fantastic. Back and forth. All the butt fumbles got to be on there too. 2012, same year. Patriots 49, Jets 14. Second quarter, the Sanchez in a busted play tried to run with the ball, ran into the offensive lineman. Out it comes, scoop and score the other way. I mean, it was just hilarious. I mean, you'll never see that in your life with the butt fumble.
The Jerome Bettis coin flip is.
Yes.
I think that's top three.
I agree with you.
Phil Luckett.
1998. It prompted a change in the rule book. Tied at 16 going into overtime, Jerome Bettis watched as Phil Luckett flipped the coin toss and called heads and then quickly changed his mind and called tails. Luckett awarded the ball to Detroit despite Bettis protesting. Jason Hansen booted the winning field goal on the first possession. The NFL now requires players to call the coin toss before it's flipped.
How good was Jason Hansen for many years? They had Eddie Murray to Jason Hansen. For Phil Luckett, he got demoted. I think 2 years after that, Phil Luckett got demoted from referee to a back judge. And I remember some horrific pass interference calls Phil Luckett made in the few years he was back judge before he retired.
Yeah, yeah. Again, get Detroit off of Thanksgiving. 2004, they lose 41-9. Peyton Manning had 6 touchdowns. And I think it was 2008, they lost to Tennessee 47-10.
I was going to bring that up.
They couldn't even stop the run. That was a Mickey Mouse offense, and they gashed them.
I remember that. I remember. I said, I can't believe Jeff Fisher team could score this many points.
That's what it was. I think Chris Johnson ate them up. Okay, this is very exciting. So now it gets – let's do a little bit Survivor here, the rules, and even Circa Million if you want. But now, I mean, fingers crossed that we get all three games tomorrow. But take it away, Maestro.
I can't believe – you know, Derek has a lot of ideas – and some of them, I said, they'll be good, and they are. They're great. Some of them, I don't know, and they still work out. Some of them, they don't work out, but we move on from them. He kept saying, we got to have the Survivor next year. This will take the world by storm. People will love this. And, I mean, we got 1,395 entries during the pandemic, right? I mean, Paul, I think we get 5,000 next year.
I think you're right.
You were a year early with your bet with me that Survivor would be more popular than the Circa Million, too. But it has been, and there's so many people that I know that are still, and this has been now going on for 6 weeks, the obsession with this thing, that the people who are still in, and it's always come down to this gauntlet here of last Sunday, tomorrow, and next Sunday, trying to get through it. And now we're down to 209 now we have left.
Finally,
we lost a lot
upset
last week because of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That was 3 people lost with Tampa Bay on Monday night. That was a pretty nervy pick.
Oh, I forgot about
Brady
that.
At home. Yeah. Four entries didn't get put in, 3 by the same guy.
Yeah.
But here we sit now, and you got 3. Well, now with the COVID news, it's up to 5, 5.5. But really, field goal games. I mean, here, and everybody's sitting here, and what do you do? So of the 209 here, I did some research on this. Of the 209, 5 people have 3 entries left. No one has more than 3. 23 people have 2 entries left.
Mm.
All right. And then the remaining, so that makes 61. So then the remaining 148 are single entries. I think the main question comes down for these 23 people and 5 people, these 28 folks that have multiple entries. Are you going to use your double option?
Yes.
And it comes down to this. And I've talked to, you know, E has 2 left, our friend E from San Diego, the professional bettor.
I've had so many people tell me that they're torn. They don't know what to do.
He's got 2.
Okay.
I know that group with Vinny Maiulo has 3 still left. Amal has 1. Gil has 1, right? So E's question is, you know, what I said to him was this. If you use the double option, how confident are you can go the rest of the way with 1 entry and not lose? Because he's torn between, do I do the double option or do I put 2 picks on both my picks on the game that I think is the best? And I don't want to say which that game is. Amal told me, he said, I'm really thinking about using Baltimore. I said, Baltimore?
Ooh.
He says, yes, I think Baltimore can win this game. They dominated it the first time in terms of yardage and time of possession, if not for the turnover. I said, here's the problem, Amal. Even if Baltimore wins, who are you knocking out? Only 43 people have Pittsburgh left. It's not like that gutsy pick of Baltimore is going to get you way ahead in time. I mean, so you have to analyze this. And then here's the other thing. How many people do you think are going to be left at the end? If you think there's going to be 50 people left, or do you think you're going to be down to a handful of people? So, you know, he said to me, I think all the people with 1 entry want us to use the double option. But there's still, if everybody used the double option, that only knocks out 28 picks between those that have 2 and 3. It advances 28 and it knocks out 28. So I just think this is a year where we're going to get down to the final weeks where you might have 40, 50 people still left in it because these bottom four teams are so bad they can't beat anybody.
You're right. As you said earlier, we've had the close calls, but you can't get the big upset. And Jacksonville and the Jets are atrocious. And now you got to throw Cincinnati in there. How bad they look now with Burrow out for the year.
Now you have a new team to play against.
Yes. So people just, I'm going to play against the Jets or I'll play against the Bengals or Jacksonville. And I think Cleveland will be a popular play Sunday. Well, how about the rules now? What's the stipulation now that Thanksgiving's its own week?
Yeah, so you just have to be cognizant. You have to get the pick in by 10 o'clock tonight, Pacific, so 1 o'clock Eastern time. The pick has to be entered. You can't wait until tomorrow morning. That's when the deadline closes. And then
it's going to get some people.
I said the number was 6.5, and there, people are reacting wildly to this. Somebody said the number should be 1.5. I said, that's way too low. On any given week, it shouldn't be 1.5. And you know when the deadline is.
Yes.
We're changing it up this week.
I agree.
People are just now asking, oh, is there a difference? It can't be Saturday at 3. Do all the proxies know? I mean, we've done everything we could to tweet it out, to talk about it on VSiN. I know the guys here at the book do a lot of other media. They're on podcasts. We've been talking about this repeatedly. 10 o'clock Pacific, Wednesday night. And then for Sunday, of course, it goes back to Saturday at 3. We'll know tonight. I mean, we'll tell tonight at 10:01 how many people didn't get in. I still think I have a pretty sharp number at 6.5.
All right. How about circa million? Or how about this now? My tag team partner, Shawn Michael, who's carrying us, the guy in New Hampshire, the heartbreak kid, Midnight Express. He had. it's possible we go 5-0. I think we can steal the quarterly here. I think 16-4 is going to win the quarterly. But the other thing is Sean's on a roll, and Sean's been great picking these Thursday games. We're 2.5 points out of the money, top 50. It's incredible what happens when you have a 4-1 and everyone goes 0-5 or 1-4, and the consensus was putrid.
So where do you guys stand? How many points do you have in the third quarter?
We're 240.
In the third quarter.
11.
11, the leader's at 13. Only two people have 13.
Yeah, 16-4 could do it.
And 10 people have 12. So you're tied for 13th right now.
Correct.
Right. 16-4. Yeah. Yes. Everybody had such a bad week. Everybody came back to the pack last week. The consensus was 0-5.
How about that?
1-4 at the Westgate and 0-5. It was a tough week. It really was for the betters and for the contest. I can tell you that. It's very interesting. You go 5-0, you're live. And remember, it pays top three. So remember that. It's not just the top spot. It's the top three.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We met those kids from St. Cloud, Minnesota last week that, she got 71,000.
Storm 2 and Storm 3 are tied for third with 12. So he's got a little bit of an option there, that entry. He can do some three common picks and maybe four other games.
Did you look at the booby price? Who's in last place?
I can.
I love looking at that.
You really love that.
It's 100,000. One of the answers I'm trying to lose on purpose.
Last place. Last place has 37 losses.
Oh.
13-37.
Oh, is that
a six-way tie for last right now.
Oh.
It's a six-way tie. Shadow Sports, who's been in contention all along.
He had a 3-2, I believe. Right.
And then another three entries are a half a point back, and then another 14 are a full point back.
That's a great idea, too.
I like your idea, too. Do a last place per quarter. Give 20,000 a quarter away, too.
Have you said it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, take a round of applause if you can go 17-3. It's more difficult to go 3-17 or something like that if you have or 2-18. I mean, that's the guy who used to be like, how did you do this? I want to talk to you and go the other way. How can you be so bad? But the other thing, imagine if something happens today. Hopefully nothing happens while we're on the air, but if there's more positives out of Baltimore, imagine if the league, if they postpone and have to move that game.
How about
or,
this?
Or go ahead.
How
I know
about if somebody
going.
Does the double option and they tie on
that's
Thanksgiving?
That's right.
You got two games that are a field goal and one's five. I mean, they're all competitive games. And a 10-minute overtime, a tie is very possible. Takes two punts or a missed field goal and a punt. Very well could happen.
Absolutely.
That'd be the worst beat of all time.
Absolutely. Mitch Moss is back Friday. We're off tomorrow. Derek Stevens in half an hour. Can't wait to talk to him. And in 8 minutes, hardcore, for the first time on this network, hardcore craps discussion. You guys have been terrific with your tweets and emails. We'll run down craps and strategy, and the maestro loves to play. All that straight ahead.